You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you as always by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Want to talk a little college sports today because of the Supreme Court ruling yesterday and what it means. So to join us, to give us a little insight, is Gary Parrish, covers college sports for CBS Sports. What's up, Gary?
I'm good. You guys been okay?
Doing okay. Hey, before we dive into the college thing, I was just perusing your Twitter, at Gary Parrish. And I don't know, are you a DeGrom Mets fan? Because I saw like your latest tweet was about DeGrom.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Mets fan, despite the fact that I grew up in North Mississippi. It's a weird connection, but you can sort of tie it to where we were with cable television when I was a kid, and also where the Mets were when I was a kid. When I was growing up, where I lived, you know, it's not like today where, you know, I've got the Major League Baseball subscription.
Right.
My kids can literally watch any team at any time on any night. When I was growing up, you had the Braves on cable on TBS. They stunk. You had the Cubs on WGN.
Uh-huh.
Most of my friends were Cubs fans. I didn't care. And then you had the Mets on WOR.
Yeah.
And given that the Mets double-A team at the time was in Jackson, Mississippi,
okay,
and they had a young Doc Gooden and a young Darryl Strawberry, I became a Mets fan very young. Started off great. Won a title in 86.
Yep.
And it's been mostly misery ever since. But this season has been fun so far, despite the injuries, because DeGrom is just amazing. Like, I've seen him pitch in person before. My kids have seen him pitch in person before. We go to games either at Citi Field or somewhere else. You know, been to D.C. to see Mets National Series before. We go every year, with exception of last year. I'm going to make it a point. You know, I make it a point to have my kids try to at least know when he's pitching and watch on TV. And I want to take them this season to see him in the season, because it looks like it could be record-setting. And obviously, you guys know, every time he's on the mound, it's wild. You know, either during his start or after his start, if you go to Twitter, last night being another example of it, there's a new fact rooted in, nobody has ever done this before, but Jacob DeGrom just did it. Like, after every start, he's something else, man. Really, really fun to watch. Like, I grew up on, you know, at the peak of Doc Gooden, and even that, I don't think can match this. At least statistically, it can't match what we're watching right now.
I mean, does he have a signature pitch, though, like Doc Gooden? Like, when you mention Doc Gooden, I immediately think of just that massive curveball he had. I mean, obviously, he threw gas, but had that just massive curveball. DeGrom obviously throws gas like 100 miles an hour. Does he have a signature out pitch?
I mean, he can get you with a slider or a changeup. I mean, that's really what he uses. But that fastball, it's like watching a Doc Gooden fastball, except Greg Maddux threw it. And that might be overstating it a little bit, but he locates that 100-mile-per-hour fastball arguably as well as anybody's ever done it. I mean, not many starting pitchers touch 100 in the first inning and in the seventh inning. He can do it, and he can also locate it really well. And the idea that he's doing, you know, for people who don't spot, and I know you didn't bring me on to talk about this, but it's actually what I enjoy talking about more than anything. he wasn't a pitcher growing up. He was a shortstop. He didn't start pitching until his sophomore year of college. And to watch him turn into this is incredible. I mean, he was the number three starter in 2015. And now in 2021, he's the best pitcher in the world. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, his ERA had to be at 0.5, where, you know, Pedro back in the day in his prime, you know, let's just say through 11 to 12 starts, he might be 1.5, you know, something under 2. But to be under 1 through all these starts, it's remarkable. It really is.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
What is the record for most starts in the lowest ERA? Do we know that? Is that public knowledge?
I'm not sure what it is, but nobody's ever done this through 12 starts. Nobody has ever done what he's done in a 12-start span, regardless of whether they're at the beginning of the season, middle of the season, end of the season. Like, what you're watching right now, what we're all watching right now, is historically unprecedented from an innings pitch, strikeout per nine, ERA. Like, it's all record-setting.
It's stupid numbers.
It doesn't mean it'll hold up, because, like, he's had to exit multiple starts because of an elbow, because of a shoulder. Just anytime he feels anything, they get him out of there.
Yeah.
But if it can hold up, it'll be record-setting stuff that will obviously secure his place in the Hall of Fame. But more to relative to this season, he will probably be definitely be the Cy Young Award winner and be the MVP as well.
Yeah, and that'll be 3 in 4 years. All right. So, like you mentioned, we wanted to have you on because of the Supreme Court decision. And it's a big deal. It upheld a lower court ruling that's going to allow student athletes to get some additional education-related benefits, such as reimbursements for academic expenses. They're going to have paid internships. This is stuff that the NCAA banned for a long time. Now, they're not going to get paid for play and for their names and their likenesses just yet. But talk about this ruling from yesterday, and is this just kind of a baby step? And by the way, it was 9-0, unanimous. Nine judges said, NCAA, you're wrong. So just talk about the ruling in general, and then is this a baby step to even bigger things for athletes?
Yeah, you've got it right. what actually happened yesterday was pretty narrow in scope. The Supreme Court did not have an opportunity to rule on anything other than whether student athletes should be able to get extra education related benefits. Like, as you pointed out, reimbursement for all sorts of things, unlimited grad school, vocational school, study abroad scholarship opportunities, computers, equipment, tutoring, and up to like $5,900 in cash rewards for academic rewards. In other words, a school like Georgetown could say, hey, if you're a basketball player and you've got a 3.0 GPA for this year, you get $5,900 in award. And that could become, a recruiting tool for the schools that decide to do it. But really, it's only $6,000 per year. I don't think it moves the needle that much at the highest end of college athletics. So what happened yesterday, I don't think is going to change much at all. Like, who knew 2 days ago among college sports fans that student athletes weren't allowed unlimited grad school opportunities? I mean, this is sort of in the weeds a little bit. But what was most interesting is what you pointed out. A, it was 9-0. And B, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote a concurring opinion that just lambasted the NCAA, and not strictly as it relates to these educational benefits, but the entire concept of amateurism. And so if you're looking for a big takeaway of what yesterday meant, I don't think it's that now, a football player at Alabama can theoretically earn a $5,900 academic award legally within the NCAA rules. The big takeaway is that Justice Kavanaugh all but begged more antitrust lawsuits and essentially told the world, in writing, if you file an antitrust lawsuit against the NCAA for them limiting or prohibiting you from accepting something for your name, image, and likeness rights, for accepting anything for your labor, file it. And if it gets to us, wink, wink, I'm telling you how we'll rule. Mm-hmm. We'll be on your side, because we don't think the way the NCAA does things, we don't think it's right. And more to the point, we don't believe it's legal. But we can't do anything about that today, because that's not what we're tasked with. But if you bring us something that is larger in scope and that includes name, image, and likeness and pay for play, we're going to rule on your side. And so I don't know when the next big lawsuit is launched, and I don't know when it could possibly reach the Supreme Court. That's for smarter people than I to figure out. But it seemed pretty clear yesterday that the Supreme Court, led by Justice Kavanaugh in this regard, they made it very clear. The NCAA, the quote was, not above the law. And if you bring us something where we can rule against them, we're going to rule against them every time. So to your point, it is a step toward the end of amateurism. It's not the end of amateurism. That didn't happen on June 21st, 2021. But on June 21st, 2021, yesterday, we took a step in that direction. And now it is only a matter of time. We're talking about when, not if.
All right. A couple questions here. First of all, this ruling, let's just assume that the NCAA, that they have okay motives. And no, that's a huge assumption. Sure. But part of the reason why these rules were in place was to regulate guys that get paid $100,000 to water the garden, right, and play for Alabama. That now is back in play, right? Like, how's that going to be regulated?
That's not technically back in play right now, but we are headed that direction. I mean, you will be allowed as a university to, I mean, I said earlier, if Georgetown wants to say, hey, basketball players, if you make a 3.0 GPA, you can get $5,900. It could be a 2.0 GPA. They can make whatever they want.
Okay.
I mean, this will be.
I thought you said they could get jobs now.
Oh, they can get internships.
Like no-show jobs.
They can get paid internships.
Paid internships, yeah, no-show jobs, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but those will have to be in line with, you know, like whatever somebody actually makes watering the lawn, that is what the internship would have to pay. You would not be allowed to give $2 million to somebody to quote-unquote water a lawn or take some internship. They have to. The difference between today and 2 days ago is that if there's a legitimate internship offered, my son could take it. But if my son played college basketball, he wouldn't be allowed to. So these types of things,
right,
are now on the table. Where it will eventually lead is, and I don't know whether it's this year, next year, or 5 years from now, but where we will eventually be is it's just going to be do whatever you want to do. Like if you know, Maryland has a booster who wants to put a basketball player on a billboard and pay that player $200,000, that is probably going to be allowed at some point, if only because it's allowed for every other student athlete on campus, on every campus in America. And if the NCAA tries to restrict that, and this is the rub, they're going to find themselves in violation of antitrust laws. And it will just be a matter of somebody bringing a lawsuit that reaches, whether it's, you know, a local court or a Supreme Court, the NCAA is going to lose these cases every single time. And so, you know, what was interesting, and these things weren't tied directly together, but they're under the same umbrella, is that yesterday, as this ruling came down, there was also reporting that, you know, six major conferences are proposing to the NCAA for name, image, and likeness laws or bylaws that, you know, six states have new laws going on the books July 1st, where student athletes will be allowed to accept various things, including money for, you know, their name, image, and likeness rights. But the other states don't have anything. And the proposal that is probably going to go through is that on July 1st, if you have a university in a state like Georgia or Mississippi or Tennessee, if you're in a state that has a law on the books, you now operate in accordance with that law. Forget about NCAA rules. Mm-hmm. And if you're in another state in an attempt to allow other universities to quote unquote keep up, you just make your own rules. I mean, we are really, you know, a week to, you know, 2 weeks away from universities probably being allowed to make their own rules as it relates to what student athletes can accept for their name, image, and likeness rights. And so we are finally closer to a time where basketball players and football players, but also soccer players, lacrosse players, like wherever, whatever you're worth, you're going to be allowed to perhaps not get all of that, but certainly some of that. And so the end of college athletics and amateur athletics, as we know it, is closer than it's ever been. And it's going to change pretty dramatically, pretty quickly.
Gary, really appreciate the time. Love talking to you.
Way to break it
again.
Down.
Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
It's Gary Parrish from CBS Sports. Coming up next, we shift to the NBA playoffs, what the Wizards might do in the coaching search, Ben Simmons and more. John Schumann, advanced stats writer for NBA.com, joins us on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Been talking a lot of NBA playoffs last week, plus also talking about the future of the Wizards from coaching to what they would do on the court moving forward. So we got John Schumann to join us. Great guest. Advanced stats writer for NBA.com joins us on the Gambit DC or the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And John, I was looking at your tweets about potential Ben Simmons moves. So I threw it out here a day ago that if I was the Wizards, I would entertain it because I don't think them running it back is going to lead to that much success. And I don't think you get Ben Simmons at a lower trade value. You know, you can kind of get him for pennies on the dollar possibly. I mean, I'm sure it's still going to command a lot. And I'm not saying he fits in with the personnel perfectly now, but could you build around him? Would it be worth it? And I saw you mentioning that you thought maybe it would work even in Portland.
Yeah, I think the issue with Portland, I mean, the say like a Ben Simmons for a CJ McCollum framework works pretty well. I mean, Portland's been the worst defensive team over the last 2 years. So obviously he could help them in that regard. He gives them a size and one-on-one defense that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
The issue there is like, okay, if he's playing alongside Yusuf Nurkic, there's a conflict there. Cause I mean, it's the same with Embiid, whereas which one of those guys is operating in the paint offensively and which one isn't, right? And if Embiid is working in the paint, then Ben Simmons is, it's based on the perimeter or standing under the basket and getting in Embiid's way. Same thing with Nurkic, but they do have Zach Collins, who could be a sort of a floor spacing five. The only issue with him is he's only played 11 games over the last 2 years. So I think as far as the Portland question, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's just, is Nurkic there long-term, or do you move on
from there. And I think that in Washington, Thomas Bryant sort of could play alongside Simmons because he can space the floor. He's a willing and able three-point shooter. Makes a little bit of sense. And obviously Simmons will help Beal. You know, Beal's been more, you know, with John Wall's injuries and then departure, Beal's become more of a scorer than a shooter recently, you know, in the last few years. Mm-hmm. His three-point percentage has gone down. His three-point volume has gone down. And I think that would obviously help Bradley Beal offensively, take some of the ball handling load off of him. But then you could also just, you know, run two-man game with those two guys. And if you can space the floor up otherwise around Simmons.
So how explain how the salaries would have to work. Let's just talk about Simmons potentially coming here to Washington. So, because we don't understand it all. So when when JP says you can get him for pennies on the dollar, well, realistically, you can't, because you're going to end up paying $147 million. He's got $147 million left on his deal. But does the NBA require some sort of a transfer from Washington to Philly of a similar deal? Or can you give him away for, you know, Neto and Navdia and a couple picks?
Oh, no. So the Wizards are, I think, going to be over the cap. And so, yeah, you basically have to match salaries.
Okay.
And I don't think the Sixers would be interested in Russell Westbrook, to be honest.
Okay.
So it would be a difficult trade to work out. Maybe you figure out a third team. Yeah, I'm not sure about the Sixers cap situation or the Wizards cap situation for the summer. So if they do have cap space, maybe then you don't have to match salaries completely. But I think it would be if you just said, hey, Ben Simmons to Washington, how would that work? And my first answer is I have no idea, because I don't think there's a Westbrook sort of possibility there, unless there's a third team. And I don't know what a third team is trying to do with Russell Westbrook either. It's just that he's a tough – I mean, he's as difficult of a fit on any team as Simmons is, probably, you know, just because of the way he plays and his inability to shoot from the outside. He's obviously more willing to shoot from the outside, but he can be ignored, you know, sort of if you have a primary ball handler or a star playing alongside Westbrook, and Westbrook is on the perimeter, you can ignore him almost as much as you could ignore Ben Simmons defensively.
Has Ben Simmons here been just exposed, and that the league has just completely figured out all of his weaknesses and rendered him, you know, essentially useless in these fourth quarters? Or is it more, I mean, obviously it's a combo of a lot of things, but is it more just a crisis of confidence?
It's a combination of two. Obviously, he's a fantastic defensive player. And even as he was not taking any shots in the fourth quarter the other night, he was playing terrific defense on Trae Young. Like, he was bothering Trae Young as much as any defensive player is going to. And he can push in transition, and he's a great passer, right? He's near the top of the league in assists. He doesn't shoot any three-pointers, but he's always near the top of the league in assists on three-pointers. And so he can create. The issue is, in a half-court offense, I think the issue – well, yes, confidence is one thing. He's got to be able to at least shoot jump hooks or, you know, roll to the basket, or, you know, that post move he had, spin move, and he had a layup and he didn't shoot it. That's obviously a confidence issue. I just think he's got to be – if he is on your team – In a modern offense, he's got to be the guy who operates on the interior, and you've got to have four spacers around him. And the conflict in Philly is that Joel Embiid is their best player, and he needs to be on the inside, right? Like, you don't want Joel Embiid being a spot up shooter. And when Embiid is in the post, if Ben Simmons is sort of standing under the basket, that hurts Embiid, right? And Ben Simmons, I mean, you saw it in possessions late in that game seven. The Sixers were trying to post up Embiid, and the Hawks sort of fronted him. And that was okay, because Gallinari, who was guarding Simmons, was standing behind. And so Gallinari could ignore Simmons and help on Embiid, and Embiid had to go out to the perimeter to just to get the ball.
You need spacers, is basically what you're saying, is if you're good at Ben Simmons, you need spacers on the floor. So you're a big stats guy, as we're talking to John Schumann, advanced stats writer for the NBA.com. We were talking about a possible big bet, okay? Now, it's not a big payoff, but a big bet. Like, I see no possibility that the Hawks beat the Bucks in a seven-game series, but how do you see it?
I wouldn't say there's no possibility. Atlanta's really good. They have multiple playmakers, which is huge. It was huge against Philadelphia. The health of Bogdan Bogdanovic, I think, is critical. I would definitely favor Milwaukee. I don't think it'll be an easy series. Milwaukee is a little flawed, obviously, as we've seen, as they struggled, you know, got destroyed in the first two games against Brooklyn. And so I wouldn't count the Atlanta out. I mean, a lot of people picked them to lose in the first round, right? And and they won in five games. So they're good. They can defend at a fairly high level. And then obviously offensively, they have a lot of weapons in Trae Young's playmaking, and then the secondary playmaking of guys like Herter and Bogdanovic, and obviously Gallinari too, who can sort of take advantage of certain matchups.
John, this postseason has been so wacky because you've had epic collapses. Utah, epic collapse, up 25, loser. Obviously with the Nets, obviously with Philly, epic collapse. You've had epic collapses, and you've had all of these injuries, and you're seeing it in the Phoenix series, Phoenix Clippers with Kawhi and CP3. I mean, has this just been the craziest offseason? And Milwaukee might win a ring because Kyrie Irving sprained his ankle. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of setting up that way for Milwaukee. I'm not saying they're going to, but they've had some luck. This has just been a wacky, crazy offseason or postseason for many different reasons, mostly because of injury.
Yeah, I mean, we have it every year to some degree. This one seems a little crazier. I mean, heck, you can go back to that Warriors-Rockets seven-game series from a few years ago where Chris Paul injured his hamstring in game six. And the Rockets, you know, when the Rockets were up 3-2. And 2 years ago, Toronto wins a championship with Durant and Klay Thompson both getting injured in the finals. So it happens. I think we still have four really good teams. Hopefully Chris Paul gets back soon. I'm less optimistic about Kawhi Leonard. But I think the East, you have two really good teams and two stars in Trae Young and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Atlanta is obviously a little bit ahead of schedule and they've benefited, a little bit, but like, you know, this is a team that's going to be really good for the next few years. So we're getting maybe a little bit of an early look at a team that can compete. And Brooklyn, it's tough. I mean, obviously, it stinks. You know, they just had so much talent, and for two of their three best players to get hurt at the wrong time, it just is what it is. And obviously it helps that they'll have another shot with those three guys next year.
John, appreciate the time. It's John Schumann, advanced stats writer for NBA.com. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, John.
Anytime, guys.
See you, man.
Appreciate it.
It is interesting. Like, I hadn't really thought about it. Like, I keep saying, yeah, I would consider bringing in Ben Simmons, but you're right. You got to have the right fit, and maybe they have their guy. Now, Gafford, he's kind of a in-the-post type of guy, right? Like, he's benefiting from the alley-oops. You'd probably get alley-oops from Ben Simmons, too. If you have Ben Simmons in the post and you surround him with a bunch of shooters, like, they don't really have that personnel other than Bertans right now.
Well, Denny, if he's healthy, I mean, he's supposed to be a shooter.
Is he?
Well, yeah.
See, I...
He's supposed to be shooting.
No, I keep going.
He hasn't established that, but he was.
I keep going back to that one preseason game where he looked like Luka.
Uh-huh.
I was calling him Luka Light.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like he needs to have the ball in his hands. And it's almost impossible with Beal and Westbrook.
Well, I'm just saying.
He's become.
If you look at highlights from him in Israel, that's what he would do. He would shoot from long range and he'd get hot. He was streaky, but he'd get hot. But he's not. I don't think he's the type of player who's going to take guys off a dribble and score in the lane.
I felt like Denny was. So look, limited seeing him, I thought he was going to be like a point forward type.
Not on this team.
But on this team with Westbrook and Beal, he's a stand around the three-point line because those guys are dominating the ball.
Right, so he's got to be that way.
So I don't know.
I'm tired of guys that can't shoot. I'm tired of building around guys that can't shoot.
Right.
Listen, I want to be defensive-oriented, so I like that part about Ben's game. But
if you do, I'm not saying flip them equally for those guys. But if you take your one guy who can't shoot in Westbrook.
Yeah.
And the thing about Westbrook is he brings so much else.
So does Ben Simmons.
He brings the defense, and he brings a little height and length, right?
Yeah.
And you just swap those guys out, and you do bring in more shooters. Maybe you'd be better off with Ben and the shooters than the current composition of the team.
Because of the defense.
Because of the defense. He's long. He can be in the post, whereas Westbrook's more a drive and dish guy. I don't know. I mean, look, I think it was you, maybe it was Jason, that brought up the win shares. Like, he's been a good player in the league, and they've won a lot of games with him. They mowed through the Wizards with Westbrook and Beal.
Right.
And that partly because of Embiid, of course. I understand that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a superstar.
And Harris was big in that series, too.
Right. Tonight, but he was very iffy in the Atlanta series.
Correct.
The other thing you'll find out tonight is the draft lottery.
Yeah, but the Wizards aren't part of the lottery.
No, I mean, they're set for 15, but for the other top teams, you're going to find out where guys are going to be selecting. And
can we get somebody, hey, Drabby?
Yeah.
Because, like, I was just reading about Hunter Dickinson, right? Yeah. I don't know if you sent me that link or if I just saw it. I'd love to get, like, a draft guru guy.
He's the DeMatha kid that went to Michigan?
Yes.
Yes, and
he only played, like, 1 year at Michigan, right?
Yes.
Yes, he's testing the waters. Aaron Wiggins is testing the water. Apparently, Wiggins is playing well. You know, a lot of big-name guys testing the waters. I wouldn't mind getting a little update on how those guys have looked, and you know if they're zooming or going down the draft boards.
And should we get the update from Drab's guy, the Turkish sensation?
Who's Drab?
Oh, that guy that he liked with the behind-the-back pass that I thought was the best pass he ever saw. Sengun.
Right.
I think his name is Alperen Sengun.
Just wait, you'll see.
You'll see. All right, you might be. Where is he projected right now?
Well, depends on where you look. I'm on draft.net. They got him first pick in the second round.
Okay.
Yeah, they need to update that.
What about Wiggins? Have they updated Wiggins? Because supposedly Wiggins has been playing well in pre-draft camp.
I mean, who deal. Depends on where you're looking in these mock drafts, but they don't have him as a first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him not even a second round.
And I had heard that Dickinson was going to come back, strongly thinking about coming back. But who knows?
100%.
Our previous guest, Gary Parrish's mock draft, updated. Yeah. But, I mean, it was updated June 1st, so it's been a while.
Yeah, that's three weeks ago.
This one was updated June 2nd.
Supposedly Dickinson's in the first round.
So it's been 3 weeks.
Dickinson said, he was on the record saying, I don't want to just be a second rounder or an afterthought. I want a team to make a commitment to me. If a team commits to me, you know, then I go pro. But otherwise, I'd go back.
Yeah.
I missed Sengun 15th on Kyle Boone's draft. And then Gary Parrish has a Wizards taking James Bouknight.
Yeah, Bouknight out of UConn. Well,
what's
we'll
his deal? Bouknight's
two guard, maybe a small.
Right. I can't wait to see. I'd love just to know who they're interviewing. Like, what kind of style are they going to go? Drabby's D'Antoni route, JP's D'Antoni route. Mm-hmm. You go all offense, just go all in. Or are they going to go more, you know, again, old school, bringing a guy, you know, banging his head against the wall, trying to
get these guys to play some defense.
Get these guys to play some defense.
Yeah.
It'll
be interesting.
Which is what I would do. That would be my instinct. But maybe Drab's right. Maybe we just go all Paul Westhead or Paul Westfall, whatever it is, and just go crazy.
There's a million names out there. I do see Wes Unseld Jr.'s name coming up a lot.
I've seen that.
Because of the connection. And then I did see... I think it was our guy Chase Hughes, and he had an interesting article. It's just mostly speculation, though, about college coaches. Remember when we had Tommy Shepard on, he said that they were going to like look at every possible route, like even like said international. But supposedly Calipari wants back in the NBA. I don't know if he'd be into him.
Is Calipari souring on Kentucky because he's had a couple rough seasons?
I hadn't heard that.
That'd be so silly.
I hadn't heard that.
He'd be that good size for big names.
We would have some juice
well,
here.
That would be a huge story, but find that hard
Eric,
to believe.
By the way.
Oh, but how about this one, though? You mentioned Hunter Dickinson, coached by a guy who does have Wizards Bullets connections.
Juwan
Howard, who was
but he's
an NBA assistant coach for years, you know, most notably with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly he keeps going on record, and all college coaches do, but he keeps going on record saying he has no interest. Like, he's really happy where
he is. The other names that Chase Hughes listed, because I read the article and it just intrigued me, because they're names that you recognize. Penny Hardaway, who's at Memphis, and Jerry Stackhouse.
Well, Penny hasn't even done that much at Memphis other than make a splash on the recruiting scene.
Right.
Oh, hold on. What were you going to say, Valdez? I've heard you try to chime in like three times.
Oh, we got a break. But I was just saying Book Knight is who Maryland shut down the tournament. Do you remember?
Yeah, they played UConn. Yep. You're right.
Maryland put the clamps on him. Yeah. You really want him?
I don't have a good memory. No, I have to look him up.
I'm just saying he's projected as a top, say, 10 to 12 pick.
Right. As of June 1st.
Who knows how good these guys will be?
By Gary Parrish. All right, coming up next, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets. The Bringing Back Shows to MGM National Harbor. Sebastian Maniscalco coming up July 22nd.
Nice.
Hits the theater at MGM National Harbor. Give you a chance to win tickets. You can call in now for the morning matchup at 800-636-1067.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106. I'm the fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to play a little fact or fiction to give you a chance to win tickets to go see Sebastian Maniscalco at MGM National Harbor. That's coming up July 22nd, 10 p.m. at the theater at MGM National Harbor. You can buy your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or visit 1067thefandc.com. I can tell you he puts on a great show. I went with my wife the last time he was at MGM National Harbor. And he was awesome. He packs him in. He's your guy. He's my guy. He's Italian. He does like some, you know, like Italian dad humor. But he's also, he's kind of interesting because he doesn't really do jokes. He kind of tells stories.
Yeah.
And he's very physical.
Yeah.
He's kind of combines like the humor with kind of the physical comedy. He's not as out there physically as, you know, a Jim Carrey. But he does kind of that physical humor.
Two of your guys are similar because your other guy's a guy from Boston.
Yeah,
or
I was going to bring him up. I do like Bob Marley a lot.
Bob Marley and Sebastian Manic. Those are your dirks of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Valdez? Am I right about that?
I mean, I would say Chris Rock as well, but
my guys, I'm a Sinbad guy.
Sinbad.
Hey, I'm a Sinbad guy too.
I'm all in on Sinbad.
I mean, but it's all in on old routines. Does he do new stuff?
Yeah, he's got new stuff. I saw his stand-up in, 2012.
Did you?
Well, I didn't go see it, but, that's the last special that I saw. I know he was at Hollywood Casino, 2 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Is the improv back up and running now? Should be, right? We need to get her in, the owner.
Allison.
Allison, and have her bring in somebody because she's been through a rough year and a half.
Yeah, yeah. I'd imagine it's been brutal. All right, let's go to the phones. Who's up first?
All right, let's go to Amanda in Winchester. Line one there, Valdez. Amanda, ladies first.
How's it going?
Amanda, hey. Fact or fiction, pick A or B, okay? I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
A or B?
A.
All right. Fact or fiction, it's very simple. The New York Islanders lost 8-0 last night in the Eastern Conference Finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is that fact? That is a fact. Congratulations. We got a winner. It was as simple as that.
Yeah, Trotsky.
You'll
got
go to the Sebastian Maniscalco show July 22nd, 10 p.m. Theater MGM National Harbor. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or visit 1067thefandc.com. Yeah, that is, I mean, that almost seems like fiction, right? Yeah. I mean, how often are there 8-0 games in hockey, let alone the playoffs?
Never. That's just
I feel
one
like
of those
the
games.
Caps have been in some of those, though, on 8-0? The wrong end of it. No, like maybe seven. Or six, yeah. Like some boat races.
Yeah.
Some game seven boat races, actually.
True, but in an Eastern Conference Finals, especially with the Islanders, who play pretty good defense, you rarely see that. You didn't expect that.
My other fact or fiction was kind of inspired by an interview there with Gary Parrish. And we're not going to do the game. Just I'm actually doing the math right now. So Jacob deGrom, who we were talking about, has a 0.5 ERA, which is incredible. Because he's had 12 starts. It's not like it's through three starts.
Mm-hmm.
12 starts, not quite half the season, but, you know, it's a significant amount of starts, right? So he's pitched 72 innings, and he's given up only 27 hits.
No, it's ridiculous.
That's why he's the best.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, I wanted to bring it up, but we didn't have time. But with what he's doing and with what Ohtani's doing, it really is crazy.
Yeah, I saw some Ohtani stats. This morning, I should have written him down, but they were comparing him to Babe Ruth, like, through the same number of at-bats.
Yeah, and he was ahead of him.
Yeah, he's got more home runs than Babe Ruth.
Yeah, like in games played, like quicker to, like, whatever it was, 40 bombs or whatever the hell it was.
I mean, if you look at DeGrom's career, his career ERA, I mean, it's obviously great. It's 2.5, okay? But the last 3 years, he's been at 2-4, 2-4, and then he was unbelievable in 2018 with a 1-7. The year before that, it was 3-5. But this year, to be at a half through 72 innings is just stupid. That's a dumb number. To be that good through 12 starts.
This is showing my age again. I'm just getting old. But I feel like Ron Guidry one year had like a 1-2 or something.
He did.
I remember he was like 25-3 one season.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. I think he had a
He was like 25-3 with like a 1-2 or something. Like something nutty. I might be making that up.
It was a 1-7.
Okay, yeah.
Well, the amazing thing.
That puts the 0.5 in perspective. Yeah.
Well, the amazing thing about Ohtani is he's got the 23 home runs. But he's also 4-2 as a pitcher.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, a 3.3 ERA.
Home run hitters are a dime a dozen. But to do what he's doing, like true unicorn stuff.
I was looking at his stats for 2018. He's even better this year. He's got a 2.7 ERA, 3-1 start.
It's incredible. And it's a shame that he plays where
you don't watch
half the country never sees him.
Yeah, but if
I know, I never see him.
See, I don't totally agree with that. I mean, yes, people on the East Coast have less of a chance to see him, but if he was on the Dodgers, he would get more shine. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but I don't even see the Dodgers.
Yeah, but that's because you're not a baseball
fan. That's because you don't really care.
It's because they play at night. They play half their game, most of their games at 10 p.m.
Okay,
to bed.
But the Marlins, do you watch the Marlins? They play at 7 o'clock. I mean, it's a function of...
No, it's a West Coast thing. I'm making a West Coast point.
Well, when they travel to the East Coast, are you making a point to watch them?
No, he doesn't care.
I don't know how I would, but
they show every at-bat of Ohtani on MLB Network.
Well, he doesn't.
Well, I'm not on MLB Network. You're right about that.
Look, EB, there's some truth.
You're right about that.
There's some truth to what you're saying about the West Coast, but my point is there are a bunch of teams that are on the East Coast that you don't watch.
He watches
but
one
I,
team.
I have the ability to.
Okay, you have the ability, but you just choose not to is the point.
Correct. I think I'm making an excellent point. You're mocking it, but that's fine. You think half the country really knows a lot about Ohtani, I think you're crazy.
Well, the larger point is he's unbelievable, and so is Jacob deGrom.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Be Mitch and Finley next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue.
And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.